glad to see so many of you all back now. It's time to begin our block of Python talks for the day. First up, we have Richard Jones, who's talking about the state of Python. Please make him welcome.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so I've got kind of a meandering set of things that I'd like to make sure that everybody's aware of and maybe bring some people up to speed with today. So hopefully I'll better get through it all and leave some time for questions. We'll see how we go. What I thought I'd start with is just a bit of a recap of history, because we've actually just passed a couple of milestones in Python land. Okay, so the first milestone really is that it's been 20 years since the development of Python actually started. The thoughts about Python, the kind of the research into it, started a couple of years before 89, but the actual development started 20 years ago last December. So that's pretty neat. And then, of course, there was the first public release through Usenet in 91, because, Big Bad World Wide Web wasn't quite there yet. 1.5.2, which I think we'll all be referring to as Ye Old Faithful, it's still around. It was only a number of years ago that Red Hat would still ship with 1.5.2. So, 1.5.2, then there was a bunch of other releases. 2.0 in 2000, and then around about the middle of 2006, some of these ideas about things that should maybe be fixed one day, maybe if we find some time in this mythical Python 3000, actually started to solidify. Guido officially created the Py3k branch in Subversion and told everyone to stay away. And the PEP was written pretty much at around the same time, outlining the vague sort of release plan and sort of some of the ideas about what might get done. And then we actually had 3.0 released in 2008, near the end of 2008. And then 3.1 very, very soon after, so roughly 6 months after, or 6 or 7 months after, in 2009. So what I might start with is kind of, a what's new in 3.1. But kind of to give some sort of context to that, I think I might give you an idea of what was actually kind of new in 3.0, because 3.1 is very close to 3.0, and 3.0 has really only been out for a bit over a year. Or as some sections of the media and Slashdot reported, basically what destroyed the world. And I think we can all remember fondly those days when Google broke when 3.0 was released. It just stopped working. So 3.0 was the version in which we got to fix a bunch of niggling little things that had been bugging people about Python for quite a number of years. I guess a couple of the core syntax ones were that print and exec used to be part of the actual Python syntax. They were statements, and they had kind of weird syntax at that. And so they were just made functions, and that cleaned up a bunch of weird syntax and made things much more consistent, especially for beginners. Print's no longer this magical thing. It's just like other functions. The embracing of iterators continued. These methods were officially made to return iterators instead of lists, which is really nice, but it breaks code. So this is why it was done in 3.0. There's a lot of code that assumes, for example, that map returns a list, which is no longer the case in 3. So in 3.0, or in fact in 3.1, 3.0, text is Unicode. So you work with Unicode strings. And if you read data from a file or from a socket, you get bytes, and you have to worry about the translation between the two. And there's a bunch of new keywords. Exception chaining. Hands up, who knows what exception chaining is? Okay, so exception chaining is this really neat little feature, which basically says if you get an exception inside an exception handler, the new exception knows what the old exception was, and you can look it up. which is really nice for, you know, kind of top level exception handlers. And the standard library is way better organized in 3.0 and 3.1. So things like there's no urllib, urllib2, all the HTTP-ish sort of modules like the cookie lib and the simple server and all those things have moved into a HTTP package with a client and server module inside that changes. So all those modules that didn't actually conform to the standard Python style have been renamed. So config parser loses its camel case naming. And a bunch of other stuff. And not backwards. Style classes are gone. And new style classes are the way. So object, even if you don't say it. So if you say class and have brackets with nothing inside them, you're still going to inherit from object. You can just leave the object part out, makes it a bit terser than having to actually specify object every time. A bunch of built-in functions are still gone. So most of these were completely unnecessary. Kind of holdovers from way, way back in like even 0.9 days. Raw input, the functionality of raw input, which is basically to accept a string from the user, has been moved into the input built-in. So input no longer evaluates the user's input, it just gives you a string. Callable is not necessary, you test for a double under call method. Coerce, nobody really ever knew what that did. Apply, completely unnecessary. Reduce is now in a module called functools, and so on. So there's a bunch of clean hacks is also gone now too. And string exceptions. Back in the bad old days, strings were the only things that you could raise in an exception. Now you raise objects and it's much nicer and string exceptions are gone. Okay, so that's 3.0. There's some of the stuff that was in 3.0 was also in 2.6, so I'll just quickly go over that stuff as well. So multiprocessing, which is basically a